Welcome to episode 24 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live on April 2nd, 2021. This is a show about Microsoft 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss a topic or recent news and how it relates to you. Today, Scott and Ben take a bit of a trip down a rabbit hole to explore Windows Hello for Business, multi-factor authentication, or MFA, and passwordless authentication within Windows 10, as well as how these features relate to standards such as CMMC. Go. That is not what the DNS servers were doing last night.
You know, there's like a joke in there somewhere that it's always DNS.
Yes. And this was most definitely DNS. And the RCA. So yesterday, what happens, Scott, when DNS goes out? Like everywhere in the Microsoft cloud.
All sorts of things break. What happens when DNS goes out anywhere, not just in Microsoft's cloud, but in other major providers as well, like Cloudflare?
It just stops working.
Yeah.
Yes. So last night, yesterday afternoon Eastern time, Microsoft cloud or Microsoft DNS went down. Like, and it was funny because the Office 365 account, the first thing, what do you do when something goes wrong in your cloud and you just can't start getting to stuff? You go to status.azure.com or status.office.com. Well, guess what happens when DNS doesn't work? Those don't work either.
Yeah, it makes it just like ever so hard to get there. It was it was rough. At one point, I think when the status page came back up, there's kind of multiple states that you can see things in. It can be online, offline, like mitigating and coming back up. So effectively, you know, like red, green, yellow. And it was just a sea of red. Like every single service, everything worldwide was having some form of impact along the way.
Yeah. And I tried to go to it and it didn't work. And I put something out on Twitter about, I can't really check the status page. And someone's response was, well, technically it's working. If you can't get to the status page, it's still out.
Yeah. Every service was up with some kind of like warning yesterday. It wasn't like a critical thing where, like, you know, data centers were failing over and portions of continents were collapsing into oceans or things like that. But it was rough going.
Yeah. And fortunately, it wasn't too long. So going back and looking at the status history, everything's up and running. There was maybe the status page was an hour outage from 2130 UTC to 2230. The preliminary root cause is, we are continuing to investigate the underlying cause for DNS outage, but we observed that Microsoft DNS servers saw a spike in DNS traffic. Me reading between the lines says, Microsoft saw a DDoS attack that actually worked. That's me reading between the lines. There's nothing in there about it.
I'd imagine, so this just happened.
Who knows?
Well, so we're April 2nd. This just happened April 1st.
Right. So this was like 12 hours ago.
Yeah. RCAs do take a little bit of time to come out. So you should see further RCA on this one probably by the end of today and rolling out over the weekend. Those details do come out over time. There's kind of a commitment with the statement for this one that RCA and a preliminary RCA will be available within 24 hours, and that'll be a publicly facing RCA, and then anything deeper beyond that.
Yep. So really all they did is they engaged resilient DNS capabilities. So it sounds like they just scaled up DNS servers to absorb the spike in DNS traffic, and adding DNS capabilities kind of helped flatten that out and everything started coming back up.
Yes. But I think that's about all you can take away from it at this point. But because so many services do rely on Azure, not only Azure services themselves, certainly consumer services, Xbox Live, things like that, it wasn't a fun time.
No, but again, at least it was quick.
But it's all back today.
Well, and the hard part too, right, was it was so close to that other outage that was, I think we talked about it last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, the Azure AD one.
Yes. Because these were so close, that always hurts a little bit too when there's two big outages like that close together. But all is good now. Hopefully we can get a little while. So I figured we should start with that because that's everybody's question, right? Everybody always wants to hear about the latest outage.
Yep.
And fortunately, it was quick. Everything is green. I checked the status page this morning. Everything seems to be back up and working fine. And it appears Microsoft just had to handle a larger DNS traffic load all of a sudden.
Yep. And standard answer, right? It was always DNS.
Always DNS, always networking, always DNS. Yes.
I saw this great little cartoon pop up on Twitter yesterday. You're familiar with the rules of a genie. Like everybody's seen, hopefully, Disney's Aladdin, you know, genie pops out and it says, you know, Al, there's like three things that I can't do. You can't wish for death. You can't wish for someone to fall in love with you. You know, I can't make someone fall in love with you. And there's no bringing back dead people.
I thought there was, you couldn't wish for more wishes.
That's kind of implicit, right? But, you know, like, genie pops out of the bottle, can't wish for death, can't wish for somebody to fall in love with you, and won't bring back dead people.
Yep.
The joke is, you sit there as maybe like a computing professional or somebody who deals with technology, and you say with a flat face, I wish for 100% uptime. And the genie just kind of stares at you and says, there are four rules. Can't have 100% uptime, even with the genie.
Yes, it's always a wish, hope, but there will always be issues.
Outlook add-ins are a great way to improve productivity and save time in the workplace, and Sperry Software has all the add-ins you'll ever need. The Save as PDF add-in is a bestseller and is great for project backups, legal discovery, and more. This add-in saves the email and attachments as PDF files. It's easy to download, easy to install, and Sperry Software's unparalleled customer service is always ready to help. Download a free trial at sperrysoftware.com, SperrySoftware.com, and see for yourself how great Save as PDF is. Listeners can get 20% off their order today by entering the code CLOUDIT. That's CLOUDIT, CLOUDIT, all one word at checkout. Sperry Software, work in email, not on email.
What else should we chat about today? Since, I mean, really, there's not a whole lot you can do. DNS went down, DNS came up, we're all good.
Yeah.
This was something you had reminded me. Yeah.
You do this thing occasionally where we get to the end of an episode and you're all ready to lock it. You say, oh, we'll talk about that next week. And then we never come back and talk about it next week. So I have this running like little sticky list down my monitor of things that Ben has said we're going to come back and talk about. And I figured we'll do like a Ben corner once in a while and get you to come back and talk about the thing that you were excited about. So in this case, you mentioned a few weeks back about working with Windows Hello for Business and being able to satisfy some regulations, some NIST requirements around the Cybersecurity Maturity Model Certification, CMMC, and kind of like what all goes into that. So I thought that'd be a fun one to talk about. A little bit about identity and device management to a certain degree, and how you can implement standards like this in the Windows ecosystem.
This was something I was relatively new to when I started working on this. So I am going to preface this that I am by no means an expert in all things NIST, nor do I completely understand all things NIST, but this is what I have been able to glean from talking to a few different friends I have, people I've worked with, a client I was working with, kind of all around some of the NIST compliance and devices and MFA and Windows Hello for Business and how some of this fits together. And it was actually rather timely, and that passwordless was actually GA'd about the same time I was working on this. And Microsoft came out with a 10 Reasons to Love Passwordless blog article. And each blog covers one reason why you should love passwordless. And one of those, number two in their list, was NIST compliance. So we'll link to that too. But this was an interesting exercise in one trying to understand a little bit better from my perspective on how some of the NIST, the CMMC, if you have to adhere to those certain regulations and those certain standards of kind of how you would start down that path as it relates to Office 365, as well as how it relates to Windows 10. Like you said, Windows 10 Hello for Business. So Windows 10 Hello for Business is, like, that's kind of where I started. So the first thing that kind of came out of this when I was working through this is with CMMC and NIST, if your data all lives in Office 365, you have to have MFA. So MFA is one of the requirements for this. If you go enable MFA for Office 365, for SharePoint, for Teams, all of that, great. You can go log into those to get to your data. But now if you start syncing data or pulling some of that data offline and it actually exists on your devices and devices that you would use to access this, there's also that requirement that your devices have to be MFA compliant. So any place that data resides has to have MFA on it, which was kind of the first step that led me to it. So then I started looking at, okay, so how do you make Windows 10 devices use MFA authentication? And that's where my rabbit hole started.
All right, well, let's go further down the rabbit hole.
So essentially, Windows 10 MFA authentication ties into Windows Hello for Business. And there's a couple articles out there that we'll link to. So one of these was from a guy named Ronnie DeYoung, and he has a great article on enabling Windows 10 multi-factor authentication with Windows 10 Hello multi-factor device unlock and Microsoft Intune. So this, and it ties back, Microsoft also has some documentation out here about this that talks about how you can go in and with some changes in registry keys, some settings within Intune or within what's now Microsoft Endpoint Manager, you can actually go in and specify two different authentication methods for Windows 10. So short story behind some of this is you go in to Windows 10, go update some registry keys around credential providers. And there's a few different credential providers you can use. So you can use a PIN, which I'm sure everybody has seen where you go set up Windows 10, enter like a username and password. And it says, do you want to set up Windows Hello? Enter a PIN. And you go type in that PIN. And now you can use that instead of your password. That's one of those. And we can go talk about that a little bit more because there's some interesting things too I learned about just PINs and why those are more secure than passwords. We can keep going in that in a little bit.
Just to take a step back for a second. So really what we're talking about is, like, there's the CMMC side of things, right? Like, to meet this standard, like, thou shalt do this. And then there's individual configuration along the way. Because I think lots of people are familiar, hopefully, with MFA. And, you know, particularly, like, Azure AD MFA and how it is, like, really two-factor authentication at the end of the day. It's not, like, a multi-factor authentication. And CMMC is extending down to say, hey, you actually have to have multiple factors, like, you know, double click on multiple. Like, there have to be multiple categories for you to satisfy the MFA requirements. And that's where something like Windows Hello for Business comes along, because you can have things like maybe a first unlock factor, like you got to satisfy multiple categories, right? So maybe your first unlock factor is Windows Hello PIN. And then, you, like you said, hey, I had Windows Hello and I set up a PIN and boom, I went and did that. And then I can have another category that also comes in and says, you know what, like Windows Hello with a PIN isn't enough, but Windows Hello plus a PIN, and maybe your device has like a built-in fingerprint reader. So PIN plus fingerprint. Now you've got multiple factors and you've satisfied multiple categories. So we can go ahead and let you reach whatever it was you were trying to reach in this case. Like, usually that's going to be, like, in the beginning, just getting onto your desktop in the first place, let alone opening a web browser and trying to get into things, right? So, like, we've got to walk through these categories and, you know, satisfy these categories to be able to log into these services, right?
Yeah, and this is where I actually started. There was, I don't know, I wouldn't say contradictions. It felt like a little bit more of a gray area in terms of, and this is what we'll talk about this a little bit too, is if a PIN actually satisfies, or one of these passwordless methods actually satisfies some of the NIST and the CMMC stuff. And this is what I ended up debating with some people. And you know what? Let's go down the rabbit. Well, no, let's go through those other methods first. See, now I'm like, which way do I go? You got me at a crossroads.
I put your head on a swivel. Sorry.
Yeah, no. Anyways, so yes, like you said, there's that pin in these multiple factors, and you don't have as many options when it comes to the Windows 10 Hello. So the pin that we talked about, the fingerprint reader that you mentioned, you could also do facial recognition, mm-hmm. or you can do a trusted signal. And that's for the first form of authentication. So when you go in and set up these registry keys in Windows 10, you have your first factor, which can be one of those four things. When you get to your second factor, you get a lot fewer options. You can only do a trusted signal or a PIN. So you lose essentially the bio scanning, whether it's a fingerprint or a face, when you get to that second factor. But then you also have the requirement of you can't do the same type more than once. So you can't do two separate PINs, one for the first and one for the second. Mm-hmm. So what I ended up in this boat with is we couldn't do a trusted signal for the first factor or for either of the factors. And trusted signal is essentially like if you're on a certain Wi-Fi network or a certain Bluetooth signal.
Yeah, you would have your phone paired to your computer. So
right.
That would always be the case, yeah.
Right, or you're on like an internal network. You're on the corporate network, so that ends up being a trusted signal. And there's a whole bunch of steps around configuring trusted signals. This is not something I dove into. We will link to some articles that you can go read about it. But that essentially meant we had to do PIN for that second form of authentication, which then kind of backed us into now we have to do fingerprint or facial for the first form of authentication.
Do you feel overwhelmed by trying to manage your Office 365 environment? Are you facing unexpected issues that disrupt your company's productivity? IntelliJink is here to help. Much like you take your car to the mechanic that has specialized knowledge on how to best keep your car running, IntelliJink helps you with your Microsoft Cloud environment because that's their expertise. IntelliJink keeps up with the latest updates in the Microsoft Cloud to help keep your business running smoothly and ahead of the curve. Whether you are a small organization with just a few users up to an organization of several thousand employees, they want to partner with you to implement and administer your Microsoft Cloud technology. Visit them at IntelliJink.com/podcast. That's IntelliJink.com/podcast for more information or to schedule a 30-minute call to get started with them today. Remember, IntelliJink focuses on the Microsoft Cloud so you can focus on your business.
This is where it started getting really interesting. So what we found, I have a Mac. I was trying to do a bunch of this testing too. You can't pass like the fingerprint reader on a MacBook Pro through to a Windows 10 VM. So I was trying to test all this on a Windows 10 VM. I did have somebody else testing this on a normal Windows 10 device. So I went out and I bought a USB fingerprint reader. It was the cheapest option because I didn't want to go buy like a Logitech Brio. Because you also have to have those certain camera requirements for Windows Hello, right?
Yeah, there's a couple USB webcams out there that have Windows Hello support in them. One or two kind of knockoffs. And then I guess like the one that would come to mind, if you said, hey, I need a camera that does Windows Hello for business reliably and every time, I'd say go drop $200 on a Brio.
Yep. So I wasn't going to do that. So I go bought like a Kensington $50 USB fingerprint reader. And you can go through the configuration and we'll link to this whole configuration. I got it all set up. So the way it was working, USB fingerprint reader was plugged in. I would go log into Windows 10, put the fingerprint, scan my fingerprint, and then it would ask for the PIN, go type in the PIN, and then I would get into Windows 10. What I found though is I wouldn't say I could reliably reproduce it. I think I got to the point where I was really close. When it was a USB fingerprint reader, if I pulled it out, I could actually bypass both those factors and end up just using a PIN, which kind of defeats the purpose, right? Like if you can just pull out the camera or pull out the USB drive and then it just kind of defaults to entering the PIN and kind of working your way around it, all of a sudden I lost my MFA.
Yeah, that sounds maybe more like a configuration thing.
Yeah, and I battled with it for a while and couldn't get around it. But that also led to how does PIN authentication actually work? Because there's articles out there, and Microsoft has always said, go set up the PIN with Windows Hello, and that's more secure than using your password. And in my head, I've always thought, okay, so I'm entering a 4-digit, 6-digit PIN, 6 different numbers, instead of a complex password. How is that more secure than using my long password every time I log into my device?
Ah, and I'd be willing to bet that was a little bit of an aha moment where you came back and realized that with Windows Hello and PINs, PINs are tied to devices, not people, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And this then goes back into, is a PIN actually NIST compliant? Because what a PIN actually does when you start looking at Windows Hello for Business is a PIN, like you said, is tied to a specific device. So I go type in my PIN. It actually uses that to decrypt. And now I'm completely blanking. It essentially decrypts the password on your specific device. It's tied to that device, does the decryption so that it, then it can go use that information to authenticate to Azure AD. So what some of these articles start talking about is that using a PIN actually is multi-factor authentication, because multi-factor authentication is something you have, something you know, or something you have, something you are. It's those two different things. And what Microsoft would say, and it's technically accurate, is your PIN is something you know.
Yep. And your device is something you have.
And your device is something you have, because if that PIN is compromised, you can't just go use that PIN to log in on another device or use that PIN to log in to Office 365. That PIN is unique to that device.
So I think that's maybe where some of that fuzziness comes in, like you said, and that's a like a NIST sub-guideline, right? Like NIST 863B. Section, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah, it's something like that.
So you have to have like a minimum PIN length, and that's easy enough to configure in Intune. So you'd say, hey, I need to have a minimum PIN length of 8 characters. And, you know, you can go ahead and configure that with complexity rules or whatever else you want to do along the way. So I guess where you ended up getting hung up is if you are in that boat for you're with someone or something like an organization that says, hey, TPM, that trusted module on your device, doesn't count as something you have for local access, or you're just looking for additional mitigation there, right? Like you want to have different things. That's where you end up going to things like maybe FIDO keys, smart cards, and doing CAC or you know, other types of maybe like client certificate authentication.
So Scott, do you know how many files are shared outside your organization? Or are you sure that every team in your Microsoft 365 tenant has a valid owner? Guess what? ShareGate's got your back. After helping thousands of customers move to Office 365, they've learned that success in the cloud involves more than just migration. That's why they created ShareGate Apricot, an automated governance platform for Microsoft Teams and Microsoft 365 groups. ShareGate Apricot can help you answer questions like these without planning unnecessary restrictions on your users. With ShareGate Apricot, you get full visibility across each team's lifecycle from creation all the way through to archival. You can automate manual tasks involved in identifying problem areas like inactive or orphan teams. And you can collaborate with team owners on corrective measures to keep your teams tidy and secure. That's also why they've combined ShareGate Desktop, their trusted migration and content management tool, with ShareGate Apricot in a single subscription so that you have everything you need to be successful in the Microsoft cloud. Other thing that I have heard a couple times, but I couldn't find anything, and maybe I was looking in the wrong spot. I couldn't find anything concrete about this, is that the something you have cannot be the same device that you're using to access the data, which kind of goes back to that the TPM chip doesn't count because
it's part of the device, yeah.
It's part of the device, right. The device I'm using to access the data and the something I have are the same device, where that something I have needs to be a different device, whether that's a phone or an RSA key or, like you said, a FIDO key. it has to be something else. And that's the other area where it was a little bit of if I'm just using a pin or if I'm just using that fingerprint reader and that something I have is technically the laptop I'm logging in on to get to the data, does that adhere to this NIST and the CMMC compliance? So if somebody knows and wants to comment or has a definitive link to how that all works, I would be really curious about that.
Yeah. Well, or you could just say, hey, to satisfy all parties, like if people are going to make that argument that the TPM is not going to be a qualifier for the something you have, then that just means everybody gets a Logitech Brio and a YubiKey.
Yeah. Right. Except that, so, and that's where then we went. We're like, okay, so can we use a USB key? And this is where you start seeing a few discrepancies that I found. So Azure AD supports FIDO2 keys for authentication. So if I want to go set up Azure AD to log into Office 365 or to log into anything in Azure, anything that authenticates with Azure AD, technically in the Azure AD side of it, those FIDO2 keys are supported. What you can't do yet, and this is the other thing we ran into, is while those are supported for passwordless for Azure AD, they are not supported for Windows 10 authentication with Azure AD. Everything works. It all works great until you get to Windows 10. And again, maybe this was a configuration issue. Maybe I wasn't finding the right thing. I could get Windows 10 to start like wanting a FIDO key, and there was some indication that maybe it would work, but it never actually authenticated. And if you go look at those registry settings and you go look at these articles from the multi-factor unlock, a YubiKey or some FIDO2 device isn't listed in what you can configure for those unlock factors in Windows 10. It's still just a PIN, fingerprint, facial, or a trusted signal, where a trusted signal is not a YubiKey or some type of USB device. So I think once that comes, I'm hoping that down the road, you'll be able to use a FIDO2 key to authenticate to Azure AD on Windows 10, but that doesn't appear to be a valid configuration at this point in time.
Are you sure?
I'm sending you the article. So a FIDO key you can use to log into Windows 10, it's a little bit of this, like Windows 10 works with FIDO keys and Azure AD works with FIDO keys, and it's a little bit of where you're authenticating. It appears to be a little bit of where you're authenticating to. Oh, you're sending me articles now.
I am. Like an article on how to enable passwordless security key sign-in to Windows 10 devices with Azure Active Directory and what is supported across Azure AD joined and hybrid AD joined devices. If you follow this handy article, it says at the end, you will be able to sign into both your Azure AD and hybrid Azure AD joined Windows 10 devices with your Azure AD account using a FIDO2 security key.
Turn on security key sign-in. So then how do you set this up? So, and this is a little bit of how I was trying to reconcile this. How would a FIDO2 key... So this is what it runs into now. FIDO2, right, is what I have. So I can log into Windows 10 with my FIDO key, but it's not also prompting me for something I know. Because now I'm just plugging my key in, so I'm not technically getting that second form of authentication, correct?
Wouldn't that be like in, well, then you're back to like Intune configuration or something else, right? To say whatever that definition is for however many credential providers you need to have along the way. So if you know, that definition, like, you've got to set all that up.
And maybe I phrased that wrong when we were talking about it. That's where I ran into this problem is, so I plug in my USB device or my USB key, my FIDO2 key, and it logs me into Windows 10 and it logs me into Office 365, but it never prompts for that second form of authentication. It never prompts for the something I know or the something I am would be the other one. Like the facial or the fingerprint with the USB key or a password with the USB key. Because when I go set up those two forms of authentication in Windows 10, I don't have the FIDO2 key as an option for two unlock factors.
Don't you have to like push that down through configuration though? Like at some point you run into Intune configuration and whatever that device unlock configuration looks like, and creating that in a way that it does require both categories to...
Both. Currently, based on all the documentation I've found, that's where you start running into the issue, is there's no configuration options to use a FIDO key and a PIN. Because if you go set up those configurations, that goes back to the multi-factor unlock on Windows 10 with the Hello for Business, where that first unlock factor is a PIN, a fingerprint, facial recognition, or a trusted signal. And your second unlock factor is a trusted signal or a PIN. Like once they add that in there so that I can set my first or second unlock factor to be a FIDO2 key or some type of USB key, then I could kind of tie that in. So now my FIDO2 key both works for Azure AD and Windows 10 authentication and is a valid factor for multi-factor unlock of my Windows 10 device.
Maybe I'm missing it or it's conflated between the... what Intune can push with configuration versus what's valid for CMMC.
Windows 10.
Maybe I just need to separate those things in my head, because Windows 10 and Windows Hello for Business should have that capability, right? Like in Intune, you can go in and you can create a device unlock policy, which has multiple groups associated with it, right? Like group one, group two, group A, group B, yes, kind of thing. And within each of those groups, if you know the right incantation of GUIDs, thank you, Microsoft, you can actually set effectively like a comma separated list or an array of values for allowed factors. So allowed categories of credentials in group A and group B. So in your case, like if you wanted FIDO plus PIN, like, I don't know, I'd have to go play with it a bunch. It would probably take forever to set up. You can't set up and say, okay, FIDO is the only thing allowed in group A and PIN is the only thing allowed in group B.
There is no GUID for FIDO.
Oh.
That's the problem you run in. That's where that fell apart for me. There's a GUID for PIN, a GUID for fingerprint.
And facial recognition.
A GUID for facial.
And trusted.
And a GUID for trusted signals. But there's no GUID for a FIDO key.
I see. You got to go yell at somebody for that.
Yeah. And that's where all of a sudden I ended up in the scenario of there's a mismatch of support between these different settings that you would have to set up in order to use a FIDO key for a multi-factor unlock scenario on a Windows 10 device. Or there's a GUID and it hasn't been published yet or does not exist in the documentation. So we got to all this point, and as I continued to talk to people, truth be told, at this point in time, what people still tend to end up doing when they do need that multi-factor unlock on Windows 10 is they tend to frankly just go to like Secure ID and use an RSA token,
mm-hmm,
or something like that, because there is a little bit of this mismatch, and this is not an easy configuration. Like, it took me a good day or so to kind of work through how all of this is set up and how it's all linked together and meeting all those different requirements. And truth be told, I actually blew up one of my Windows 10 VMs in the process where I couldn't get into it and I had to wipe it all out and start over again.
I'm shocked. Never happens.
I know. Surprise, surprise. But that was kind of my journey through this whole CMMC NIST thing in Windows 10 and Azure AD. Combining those two together in a weird cloud scenario.
It's quite the journey. Thank you for taking us along. And thank you for allowing me to ask stupid questions.
No question is a stupid question, Scott. If you're asking a question, it means I didn't explain it well enough.
It just means I couldn't make heads or tails of the documentation. Shocker.
Remember, like I said, it took me a day to work my way through all this and figure out how all this worked together and tied together and come up with the realization that unless you have devices with built-in, like the one way this actually seems to work the best is if you can guarantee that all of your devices actually have a fingerprint scanner and a camera that support Hello built into them. Like external USB devices just don't. I ran into problems with external devices. Built-in devices, I think all of this would have worked flawlessly once I got it set up in terms of forcing a pin and some type of bio signal to unlock that Windows 10 device.
Well, very cool. I will have a bunch of links in the show notes to everything that we just talked about. So those will be at msclouditpro.com/episode224. And people can go there to learn more and go down the rabbit hole that you did.
Perfect. Sounds good. Well, thanks, Scott.
Yeah, thanks,
Ben. Enjoy your weekend now. Enjoy the nice, cool weather. And yeah, we will talk to you again next week.
All right. Sounds good.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.